Good morning, everyone. I'm Oad, as Vasily said. I'll present Omid, which is a scalable and highly available transaction processing system. It is a joint work with this bunch of beautiful people, Francisco, Eddie, Ashkar, Edith, Ivan, Matthew, and Samir. All of them work or used to work at Yahoo. So today, the index, the data structure that is used for search is being built incrementally. And the reason is that if someone comes to you and tells you, have you heard about the latest news, then you want to be able to open your favorite search engine, look for it, and find information within minutes. And you don't want to wait a few hours until a new index will be built and will be replaced the old one, and only then you'll be able to find information of it. So this is how indexing in our dynamic world look like. We have the crawler that goes and crawls for documents. And these documents are asynchronously flow through some indexing pipeline, this gray one, and they're being analyzed, and the information of them is being added to the index while the user running queries on this index. And if we'll deep dive into this pipeline index, then this is what we can see inside. We have here some storm topologies, and we also have HBase table, and the storm topologies analyzes the documents asynchronously and write intermediate representation to the tables. And of course, this is something that we have to synchronize. So this is why we have Omid. Omid is a transaction processing system that works on top of HBase. It provides a snapshot isolation consistency that I'll define in a bit. It's scalable, it's highly available, and it's database neutral in a sense that we didn't change the database at all. We just work on top end of the database, and we can replace it with a different one if we want to. And it was recently accepted as Apache Incubator project, and hopefully it will be mature to be a full project. Before I start talking about Omid, I just want to define transaction and snapshot isolation. So transaction is an operation that starts by a begin, ends by a commit, and it has many read and write operation in between. And we say that our system maintains snapshot isolation if it has two points, a read point that occurs at the beginning of the transaction where actually a snapshot of the system is being taken and all the reads are actually reading from the snapshot, and a write point that occurs at the end of this transaction where all the writes that occurred during the transaction are actually become visible. And the only thing that we need to make sure in snapshot isolation is that we don't have any write-write conflict, which means that if the transaction ran concurrency and writes to at least one common key, then if the first one successfully commit, then the second one will be aborted. Okay, so basically this is Omid. This is its architecture. It has a centralized transaction manager, the one in gray, which is actually the brain of the system. This transaction manager does everything. It lets transaction begin, it lets transaction commit. It does the conflict analysis to check whether we have write-write conflict. It also persists the commit in some table, in some metadata table that we call the commit table. And so basically this is the brain of the system. The commit table is the metadata table that we use. It's an HBase table. And we also have the client that actually run, it has to begin, it has to commit, and it can directly access the data store without accessing to the transaction manager, and the data store are also HBase tables. So let's see how Omid works. Okay, so let's try run it. So I have a client, it asks to begin, and what the transaction manager now do, it return an ID, a begin ID. Basically the transaction manager has a sequential counter inside, and every time someone has to begin, it just increments the counter and returns the next number. And note that this transaction, this ID, T1, is not only the transaction ID, it's also the ID that represents the snapshot. This ID will be used to read as well. And now when the client gets this T1, it can start accessing the database. So it can go and write to the database directly. It says, okay, I want to write key K1 with value V1, and I want to write key K2 with value V2. But what it also does, it uses the fact that HBS is multi-version, and it uses the transaction ID as the version of the writes that it does to the database. So I have here K1 and V1 from version T1, and K2, V2 from version V2. And note that even though this value is in the database, it's still invisible. These data are invisible, and they later on will become visible once we commit it. And after writing, it can also read. So in order to read what it needs to do, if you want to read K prime, it will go and it will look for K prime with the highest version, which is smaller than T2, and was written by a transaction that was already committed. Okay, basically our snapshot is representation by T1, but it looks something like this, which means that every key might have a different version, but it's important to take the last one that is smaller than T1. Okay, so now we read, and we want to commit. So what the client will do, it will go to the transaction manager and say, okay, I want to commit, I'm T1, I wrote to K1 and to K2, this is my write set. And what the transaction manager will do, it will go and it will check whether after T1 started, someone already committed and wrote to either K1 or to K2. If the answer is yes, then it will return an abort result. Otherwise, it will go, it will allocate a commit ID, which is just the next value in the counter, and will go and persist this information in the commit table. Okay, it will go to the commit table, and it will write the transaction T1 was committed, and its commit ID is T2. Okay? And then it will just return the commit ID. But note that at the point where this information was written to the commit table, then all the data that was invisible before became visible. Okay, this is the atomic commit point that Omid did. And the reason is that if someone wanna read, I have a new transaction that got an ID T3 that's larger than T2, then it will go to read K1, it will go to the database, it will see there K1 with value V1 from version T1, and then it can go to the commit table and check whether transaction T1 was committed, and if it does, then it will find their T1, and it will see that it was committed with commit ID T2, and that's it. Okay, so that's basically Omid. This is its architecture. It has one centralized transaction manager, which is actually the brain, and it does most of the thing. But the thing is that we don't really keep it like that, because what's happening here is that every time that the client will go and it will read from the database, then it will need to go to this commit table and check whether the transaction that wrote this data was committed or not, and what it's committed in, and this is not something that we want to do. So what we actually do, just in terms of performance, not in terms of correctness, is that we have some post-commit procedure that can run asynchronously. And what this post-commit procedure does, it goes and it adds another cell to each entry that it wrote. You can see it in red. And basically just add another cell, we call it the commit cell, and it contains the commit ID of the transaction. Okay, and afterwards, the information can be removed from the commit table. And now, if a transaction want to read, then it will go to the data store, it will find their K1 with V1 from version T1, but it can see that it's committed, and its commit ID is T2. It doesn't need to go to another table in order to find this information. Okay, so basically, this is Omid, this is how it works. But what about high availability? Okay, so in order to run Omid in production, we had to make it highly available. And basically, we say that the system is highly available if it does not contain any single point of failure, where a single point of failure is a part of the system that where it stops working, then the whole system stops working. So let's take a look about the architecture of Omid to see whether we have any single point of failure in here. Okay, so let's start easy from the table. So we have here the data store tables. These tables are HBase tables. We know that HBase is highly available, so we don't really care. But what about the commit table? That's as well. We know that the commit table is also an HTTPS table, so we know that it's highly available as well. So now what happens if the client crashes after the commit? The client asked for a commit, and then it crashed. So if this transaction was committed, then actually the transaction manager persists this information in the commit table. So we don't really care, because afterwards, the transaction that will read this information can go to the commit table and find the information in there. Okay, and also we have some e-link procedure that after it will find some information in there, it will update the commit cells as well. So basically, we don't really care if it will crash after a commit. If it will crash before a commit, this is the user problem. We don't really care about this as well. But the only thing here that might be problematic is the transaction manager, that basically, if it stops working, then the whole system stops working, right? We won't have something that will serve new client. So what we did is simple. We used a primary backup technique. We have two transaction managers that run concurrently. One is serving, it is the leader, the other one is sleeping. Once in a while, it wakes up, see whether it can become the leader. If it does, then it starts serving. If not, it continues sleeping for a while, and so on and so on. We have some recovery state that help us for leader election to decide which one is currently the leader. It also contains information for the client to know to which transaction manager it should be connected to. And we also have some mechanism to synchronize the timestamp that each transaction manager is provided. But basically, even after doing that, the primary and backup, we still have a problem of a split brain. Because there might be a case that even for a small amount of time, both of the transaction manager will think that they are the leader. And there might be a case that both of them will try to commit transactions to the commit table. And there might be a case that a new transaction will be started by the new transaction manager, and after it started, an old transaction from the previous transaction manager will be committed. And this will change the snapshot of the transaction and will violate snapshot isolation. And this is why we have to somehow synchronize between them. So the simple solution is to put a lock that every time before each transaction manager go and try to commit a transaction using the transaction manager, it will go somewhere, it will try to acquire a lock, and if it succeeds, then it will write it to commit table, and if not, then it won't. This will work. A little modified version of it will work, but the thing is that every time that the transaction manager in the mainstream execution will go and will access to the commit table, it will need to go somewhere and acquire the lock. And this is not something that we want to do. So what we actually do in this paper, I will not get into details, all details are in the paper. Basically, we do not use this lock, okay? And in the mainstream execution, we do not incur any overhead, which means the transaction manager just write directly to the commit table without any overhead. For this reason, we augment the client functionality with the ability to force aborts of transactions that started by previous TSO using the commit table. The client can actually go and write to the commit table an abort symbol that actually abort other transaction, and this functionality actually let us make the transaction reduce the overhead from the transaction manager, and this abort happened only after a failover. We also augmented a little bit because we use list, a time-based lock, and the reason we use list is that list can be imitated locally. If I know that I got a list for 10 seconds, I can locally check whether I still own the list, right, after 7 seconds or so. So I don't need to go to the recovery state in order to check that. So basically, as I said, this is what we did. We augment the client with the functionality to force abort of other transactions, and this incur no runtime overhead in the maximum execution, and we also use this list for leader election in order to locally check the status of the list. Okay, so some numbers. This graph shows you the throughput of OMID 1 and OMID. The OMID that we talked about it in here is OMID. OMID 1 is an old incarnation of OMID that is similar to Tefra, if someone in here is aware of. And basically, OMID 1, its throughput is around 5K transactions per second. And even if we run it in a non-durable mode, something that we don't want to do, it gets around 55K transactions per second. OMID, on the other hand, gets to around 380 transactions per second. And if we disable the commit table, which is also something that we don't want to do, we pass the 500,000. And the reason that we added that is that to show the potential that we can get by somehow speed up the access to the commit table or removing the commit table. Okay, and I just want to say one more word about it, is that in order to get this throughput, okay, we batch the writes to the commit table. And the thing is, in HBase, is that when you write a batch, then it uses one thread to process your batch in each region server. So in order to do that, we ran many mini batches concurrently in order to force HBase to open more threads. And of course, this incurred a new problem that we needed somehow to synchronize the results, but we got an increasingly better performance. Here we have some numbers that we got from a PowerPoint trailer. Okay, sorry about that. These are basically numbers that we got from production. Okay. That we got from production. Basically, you can see in the x-axis, you can see a few processing techniques. And in the y-axis, you can see the latency. And the only thing that I want to note in here is that you can see that the begin is in gray and the commit is in black. And you can see how small it is relatively to the transaction time. And that's it. Here we have another throughput latency graph. And you can see that the OMID latency is not that good, right? If you get it to around 70K transactions per second, then the latency is more than 200 milliseconds, and which is quite bad. What we're currently doing, we actually have a version, and we also submitted a paper about that, is that we significantly reduced the latency of OMID, so we now have a version that have a much better latency with a better throughput as well. Okay, before I summarize, I just want to talk about something that we're currently doing, is that integrating OMID as Apache Phoenix, a transaction processing engine. I don't know, I assume you've heard about Apache Phoenix. It's an online transaction processing system on top of HBase, SQL on top of HBase. It needs a transaction processing system both to let user option to use transaction and also to correctly do stuff like secondary index. And this is really cool. There are many, many few cute augmentations that we need to do in OMID in order to support secondary index and support some abstract operation that want to read the latest writes, but not the writes of the abstract operation. So it's really cool. And once one will be able to integrate it in Phoenix, OMID will be widely used because Phoenix is widely used as well. Okay, so basically we talked about transaction and snapshot isolation, and we saw OMID, which is an Apache incubator transaction processing system, for HBase, Balatest, the web scale, highly available, and that's it. And thanks for your time.
Questions?
Hi, thanks for the talk, Jim Dale and KDH. So how does this compare with Splice Machine, Phoenix? There's quite a number of transaction processing systems on top of HBase at this stage. Lean X scale as well, if you're familiar with it.
Okay. I'm not sure about Splice Machine's current transaction processing engine. They just released their code. But regarding to what Phoenix uses, the Phoenix internal transaction manager is currently Tefra, if you're aware of. Tefra is basically similar to OMID 1. It has many differences. We didn't benchmark it, but we did benchmark Omid One, and you can see the results. Basically, it's different what it does. When you start a transaction, you get a hold state in memory, and you don't have a commit table.
All of this is optimistic concurrency control, yes?
Yeah.
There's no pessimistic, okay.
Oh, yeah, it maintains temperature oscillation as well, if this is your question, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, other questions? So I have a question. Just curious, what happens with the writes that went to the data stores, but then, let's say, the transaction aborted? There should be some kind of cleanup procedure for that?
Okay. In terms of cleaning procedures, there are a few things in here. Basically, when transaction aborted, the client needs to clean it just to remove it from the data store, only as a matter in as a GC. But also, we have a coprocessor that runs in HBase that once in a while goes and clean all transactions. We define a low watermark, which is defined once in a while. And basically we have a coprocessor that go and remove all the data that was written by transaction that started before this low watermark, and that's it. And we guarantee correctness because every transaction that started before this low watermark won't be able to commit afterwards.